StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today, we bring you episode number 3 of our entrepreneur tools. If you go down here in the show notes, there will be a link to LinkedIn profile of our guest Simon, as well as a link to our blog post where we have a wrap up of his methodology in all the show notes we or he better put together. Our episode, I just love the headline because we worked together in an online document and we called it Bullshit-Free Service Design and Data-Driven Business Solution. I just love this title. Hey, Simon, how you doing?
Hi, Joe. Thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity to present myself on your network. I love the title. I love the title as well. It's a topic that's close to my heart. So, and as you can tell, maybe by the sticker behind me, you can see it. People who hear it, there's a whiteboard with a sticker behind me that says no bullshit, because on my whiteboard, I don't allow any bullshit. And I try to do that in life and business as well.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking and basically you convinced me, to make an episode of entrepreneurship tools together with you for the very simple reason I like your approach. But, you have not always been living in Germany as a freelancer. Actually, you have roots in the US and Canada, right?
Right. So, I was born in Germany. I'm German. Right. I was born in Germany. And then as a child, I just started elementary school. We moved to Canada with the family, because my dad was transferred, from work, working, in the pharmaceutical industry. Almost just under 2 years later, we were transferred again to, the United States, to Connecticut. And then roughly 5 years later, we're back in Germany. And then I finished school in Germany, did my apprenticeship in Germany at Henkel in Düsseldorf. My studies took me all over the world, mostly Asia. Then I started working in consulting, specifically data science, big data, business intelligence consulting. After some experience with a big consulting firm and a startup, I decided to go the freelancer route and go into business for myself. And now I'm currently in a position where I've gained a lot of experience and I've seen what works, what doesn't work. And I kind of poured all that into a couple of frameworks that I really want to teach a team of people. So I'm looking to grow my team currently at the Data Warrior. And, that's why it's such a fantastic opportunity to be on here. And, again, thanks for having me on. And I hope we can, just have a nice conversation, maybe some people will feel inclined to get in touch on LinkedIn afterwards. I'm always open for a chat. I'd love to have a conversation. And that's about it. I'm just a value-driven human being, family man, and I like to meet, you know, interesting people and, you know, work together with driven people who are passionate about data.
Let us quickly jump in, because first thing we talk about is putting value first in your methodology, right?
Right. So, really quick, I like to keep things simple, right? That doesn't mean they're easy, right? But I like to keep things simple. And we have a saying in German that says, all good things are three, right? And I think also Nikola Tesla had something about the numbers 369, right? And I found that there's you know, power in numbers, and data, and frameworks. And one of these frameworks is my maximize, monetize, multiply framework for building a business that I found to be effective. And the first thing you want to do, right? So we have three core pillars that I try to build my business on currently, right? And the key is to provide value. That's number one. It has to be. You have to be customer centric. In a digital economy, where literally anyone can do anything, right? It's so important, or anyone can buy anything from anyone, right? It's so important to be hyper focused on your customer, and to really try to understand how can you best provide value for them. So that has to be number one for me, right? That's something we have to maximize.
What struck me home just a few years back was basically, when I was living in the US, I brought back the tradition of Thanksgiving because it also coincides with the start of the Christmas season here in Germany. And since a few years, we also have Thanksgiving turkey, not on Thursday, but on Friday. And so I want to order some Thanksgiving decorations, some stuff. And basically what I found right now, there's almost always a way to order almost everything online from any given country. There's a package forwarding service, there are VPNs, there are even call and short message forwarding services. So basically you can order from any place anywhere in the world if you're willing to go your way. So basically you're always, in at least in digital terms, in retail, if there is no legal restriction, you are always competing against a global market at the same time.
Exactly. Right.
So let's talk about how to outcompete the global market, okay?
Yes, let's do that. So how do you stick out in such a global market? Like, think about it simply. I always try to make it simple. If you can't explain it in simple terms, then you don't really understand it, right? I don't know who said that, but I'm sure that's been said. But I genuinely believe that's true. That is a true story.
It really sounds like the knowledge SpongeBob or Barney the dinosaur would dispense, but actually it's something very true, because always when people ask me, oh, what's special about Startup Radio, I tell them we are the only consistent source of startup news, information, and interviews from Germany in English. And that's basically our value proposition. That's why we scored. I think by now it should be somewhere around above 3,000 days in podcast charts across more than 50 countries.
That is amazing. Congratulations. I tip my hat to that, because it's something that I'm still struggling with, right? Getting my message out there. That's why I celebrate this opportunity to be on here. Because on the one side, you know, I think maybe many people struggle with this. You have an idea, but you don't necessarily know how to communicate it best out into the world, right? And I think you've done a fantastic job of doing that. And I know we talked earlier, right? And I know you're very, you know, your methodology and the way you use your time, it's very, very smart. And that's really what a great deal of the work that I do is also about, right? I want to maximize value by saving people time so they can focus on what really matters, right? And how, yeah.
Okay, and now tell us how to do that. just one sentence, that's enough.
Okay, well, number one, you need to develop the ability to absorb information, everything, ideas, right? And in order to do that, you must be value-based. You must be value-driven. And if you really want to absorb everything, every good idea that comes your way, right, you need to be grateful. as we discussed earlier, it's so important to be grateful. You brought Thanksgiving over, you know, and it really, it's a great, it's the only way to really have an open mind, right? If you're coming from a place of gratitude instead of a cynical place, a place of cynicism, right? So if you're really grateful, right, for the value you can bring someone, right? Let's say you care, you need to care about your customer. You need to care about the people that, you can provide value for, because they make you money at the end of the day. We're in business, right? And there's no shame in making a lot of money, right? So the key to really making a lot of money in business is to help a lot of people, right? And being grateful for every opportunity you get to help someone, right? And that will open you up to get everything you want. Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions how to do that? Because I see here to create an avatar. Would that be the first step in your methodology? So you want to provide value to a client, to a potential customer, and first you have to see, okay, who's the customer?
Exactly, right? So I think the concept of a customer avatar is not new, right? I think it's maybe just a lot of people haven't heard of it, right? So maybe just really quick, a customer avatar is exactly what you need in order to answer the question, who do you want to serve, right? And who you want to serve is often a function of who can you serve, right? What value can you bring to someone, right? What do you know something about? Where do you think you what do you think you can add to someone's current situation that makes it better, right? That's number one. And in order to be able to do that, you need to know, what problem does that person have? What problem are you solving? What specific challenge does this person have? And does this person have specific characteristics? Or what specific characteristics does that person have? Just answer that question, right? What specific characteristics does the person that you want to help have, right? And that is your customer avatar. Really think about, what problem do they have and how can I solve it, right? And then it's really, yeah.
I personally like the jobs to be done theory. That's really a really good thing. Basically, you can apply to many, many different places, but jobs to be done. What is a job to be done? Clayton Christensen came up with this methodology. And basically, the idea is, what is a job your customer needs to be done? You can do for them and they will pay you for that.
Exactly. That's like a very practical way of saying what I was attempting to say, right? I love it. That's exactly it, right? Who needs something done for them, right? That is value. If you can do something for someone that needs it done, that has a need, what is your customer's need, right? It's basic. I think that's very basic marketing, but it's important to just state it very clearly, right?
And quite frequently I come across, for example, an avatar. Usually startups very early are prone to this. They say, okay, we're selling to men between 25 and 45, above average education, above average income. And I was going, and well, that's our avatar, but there's nothing special about it. There's no way you are differentiating yourself against competition with such an avatar. There's no special need. There's no job to be done in your avatar. And that's what you really need to think about, because if I ever see an avatar like this again, I'll start screaming. It's so frequently that I've seen this in the past. It's just undescript, I would say.
Yeah. And there's a disconnect there somewhere. Because ultimately your customer should be someone you care about, right? And someone you care about, I would argue you would be able to describe them in quite some detail, right? You could probably also say why you care about them so much, right? And if that's not something that's in your customer avatar description, then you don't really have one. You don't have one, right? You don't have a customer avatar if you don't care about your customer, right? That needs to be reflected in your customer avatar, which is ultimately just a document that clearly states, you know, who that person is in detail. That's it. It's not easy, but it's
you
doable.
Should be able to describe it as someone like one of your good acquaintances. You know what they like, you know where they are, you know what they spent their money for. That's about the level. Okay. First avatar check. Next step.
Right. Well, once you know exactly who you want to talk to, well, what are you going to tell them?
We're great. That's not really a good marketing message.
It's a very me, I-driven message. Like, it's not really about what can I do for you, right? I want to, as a customer, I want to know what a specific service provider or what a specific product can how that transforms my life. And just knowing that you're the best at something or that you have all these different features doesn't really answer that question clearly. It just creates more, it might create some confusion in the mind of your customer, but it doesn't really answer the question. And he's still, you're not really helping him make the decision if you are the right choice for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's what it's about, right? Helping your customer understand whether or not you are the right choice for them. And in order to convey that, your communication needs to be on point, right? And if it's not on point, then either you're not going to be closing as many sales as you could, right? You are going to probably be wasting marketing dollars or marketing euros, because you're not really talking to the person that's ideal for your product. So you really want to work on your message.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How am I going to talk? How can I address this person catches his interest, right? The classic AIDA formula, right? Attention, interest, desire, action, right? How can I capture this person's attention to make sure that he will listen to me long enough, right, to understand whether or not I'm the right choice for him? Right? How I need to make it as obvious as possible to that person that we need to be in business, right? And you can only do that if you have a message that that clearly tells them what problem you solve for them, how you're going to solve it, and that you care. That you care about doing that for them. That's it. Very simple, but it's not.
And easy. That should be, should be really like customer care. I'm currently in the process of setting up a profile with a US-based website, and actually they sent me emails from customer care, and the first two or three emails in customer care are just standardized emails where they just sent me all the stuff that's already on their website. And I reply, you haven't read my message yet. And then they sent me something new once again from the website. And I already know that stuff, and they haven't read my message. Nobody ever bothered to read my message. And that is not customer care. They don't care.
They don't care. They don't care. And when somebody shows you that they don't care, believe them. They're showing you who they are. So believe them, right? I'm not going to do business with someone that doesn't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what needs to come across in your communication, right? And listening is as much communication as speaking.
Or as not listening.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're not listening, you're not communicating, right? Because communication consists of listening, right? And speaking. But in between, there's a lot of noise, right? And it's important to be able to cut through the noise, because whatever you say is going to go in someone's ear, and whatever they say back to you is going to be processed first somehow, right? And have you ever played that game, Silent Telephone, I think it's called? And how the message is distorted once it comes out the other end. You gotta work on not distorting that message.
What would be the type of questions you should ask yourself to come up with this message?
Well, first of all, you need to have your you need to have your customer avatar, right? So that's number one, right? Who are you talking to, right? It needs to be focused on them, right? And then you need to be able to ask yourself, okay, what can I do for them, right? So the specific, be very specific about, you know, what can I do for them? And that includes how fast can I do it for them, right? So ask yourself, who needs what done when?
And then what's the next step? We have an avatar, we have a message, and the next step would be?
Well, you need to make them, you know, some kind of offer, right? But I want to maybe return to the message, because I feel like there's a better answer there to be given. I want to give a lot of value, right, to the listeners. Everybody's also welcome to, as I said, connect on LinkedIn. But let me just give you the core of this framework, right? So you want to ask yourself for your message, what is my main metric? What is my main currency with the customer, right? What can I increase for them, right? What do they care about? And how can I increase whatever they care about for them, right? And how do I measure this? Needs to also be in there, right? So I was talking about, okay, how, so you need to be specific, right? So ask yourself, what can I increase for them, right? How can you increase it, right? You need to know that, right? And how to measure this, right? So it needs to be, if you want to help someone, if you have the rockstar method for increasing someone's sales, right? Then I'm going to measure that by revenue, right? As an example, right? And then you need to know how long it's going to take for them to achieve that level of success with your help, right? So what's the timeline, right? Typically, if you're dealing with organizations, your timeline is going to be quarterly at least. So how can you, and then they're probably going to decide whether or not the collaboration with you was fruitful or not, right? So I would say once you've made a sale, you can always, you always have like the 3-month period of, where, okay, let's see what, if this really produces some results. So I would say like 90 days is a good time frame to solve someone's problem in a business context, right? So if you're dealing, you know, with the data, digital, and, sales kind of, business models that exist, especially consulting. Right. Then you really, want to, also, put an emphasis on what, pain can be avoided if they work, together with you, if they decide to work together with you. So you want to address your customer. You want to tell them what they care about and, how you can help them increase what they care about in a certain amount of time without all the usual headaches that go along with solving that problem for that customer. Right. You're better. And, you're better because you care. That's the ultimate message formula, right? And, I hope I did a good job of answering that question, because it really is so important. So I didn't really just want to gloss over it before we even get to whatever you're offering, right? So
you already talked about what you're offering. What would be your offering? How do you come up with it, especially like a signature offering, something at least the customer thinks nobody else can offer?
Well, you need to, first of all, you need to know what you're doing, right? Once, and if you don't know how to really provide value for a customer, again, I'm very customer focused, right? Then you're not going to be able to have confidence in what you're selling, right? So you need to, and for it to be really your own, your signature solution, right? It needs to be something that you deeply understand that you're passionate about, ideally, right? Ideally, you're passionate about it, because that goes a long way in getting people behind, getting to trust you, right? You need to have the self-confidence in the value that you can provide for someone. To say it in one sentence, right? Have the self-confidence in the value you can provide for someone, right? And that includes knowing exactly how to solve that person's problem over and over and over again, right? You need to have a solution that takes the customer from where he is to where he wants to be, right? From point A to point B. And you need to give them the security through your messaging, through your communication, through showing that you care, that you are going to get them there safely every step of the way.
Can you give us a few examples so somebody listening to this or watching this can actually have an example and think, oh, what would apply to my startup?
Okay, so maybe we'll give them two examples, right? Because just to show that this is versatile, this way of thinking, let's apply it to your business really quick. So what value are you giving, and how are you making sure that you give the value every single time safely? Who's your customer? Who are you talking to at Startup Radio?
Basically, our customer is interested in the startup world. They are local. They live somewhere across the globe. We are available in almost all nations across the world, and they don't necessarily speak German. So basically, we make startups. We make interesting developments visible in English. That is something nobody else does.
And what benefit does that have for that customer?
It depends on their background. Basically, if they are a venture capitalist, if they're an entrepreneur, it's either a potential for an investment.
Okay, that's a strong benefit.
Or if they are working in corporate innovation, it's a potential for cooperation.
Very good one. Yeah, I think that gets often overlooked. That's a good benefit for sure. So you certainly give a certain amount of exposure, right, to startups mm-hmm. for these potential investors, for these potential partners.
Yep.
Right. So I see the value there, right? So that's very clear. So next step is, okay, how are you able to ensure to that customer, right, who, you know, let's for the sake of the example, call them a VC, right? Or maybe some private equity investor, right? How can you ensure the quality of your service delivery and that you get the desired result every single time, basically?
Mm-hmm.
How would you do that at Startup Radio?
We have a framework. At first, how we set up all our interviews. Secondly, we talk to all the startups beforehand, before the interview. And the step even before that, we have to decline about 70% of the startups that approach us because they either not fitting in our setup or they're not fitting in the interest of our clients. Meaning, if you have a novel version of a door stopper, for example, that's not necessarily what we're talking about here. We talk more about digital, globally scalable solutions.
Right. So that just shows, okay, you're also very clear about, you know, the interview partners you choose, right? Who are part of the service that you deliver, right? That you have the interesting interview partners for your specific customer, right? And and maybe even bringing these two together, right? So there's a circular benefit, let's say, right? And now the question becomes, how do you communicate that? How do you make that business that is there? You see that there's a benefit there to be had. There's a problem. There's a gap in the market, right? Now, how do you monetize that, right? So we've maximized the value, right? To get back to, you know, the three steps to success, right? To building your business, right? You maximize the value for the specific customer avatar. You have a message, right? Right. What is your message? If you have you done that little exercise, like the bringing your one sentence pitch?
What we usually do is something a startup said about us. It's the authority on German startups.
That is a good testimonials. Right. Testimonials. Testimonials always drive the point home in the end. Which is basically the proof, right? As your customer said, as the testimonial said, the authority on German startups, right? But that comes from you being very focused on a specific customer, right? A specific listener, right? VC investors that you are giving access to you're basically creating a platform to expand their investment opportunities, right? So that's a tangible value, and you do that in a certain way over a certain time, without maybe the usual headaches that they would face having to do it in a less comfortable way other than listening to a podcast, right? So that's a great message right there. Right. If you're able to say that clearly to someone, then since you're in the media business, right, then you are in such a great position to maybe talk to sponsors, right, for your podcast. Maybe talk to whoever benefits you. Right. I mean, you're deep in the business, so does that make sense to you? Yes. Okay. Good. I'm glad. Right. So then once you've demonstrated your value, you have a business model to sustain, continue creating that great solution for your customer. That podcast, right? That's informative, expanding investment opportunities for globally, right? Then it becomes a question of, okay, how can I sustain that, right? How can I make money with it, right? You're monetizing now. You know, this platform, right? Because you can demonstrate that it pays to associate with you in some form, right? Or advertise on your platform, or whatever other services that you offer that are tied to Startup Radio, right? And there, I think it would be up to you to say, right? Because there, the imagination. For services you can provide to your specific customer. Hey, as long as you're able to provide it consistently, persistently, do it, right? And then it becomes a question. So once you are actually making sales, once you're in business, then it becomes only a question of how can I multiply this? How can I multiply that sale over and over and over again? And how can I scale it, right? So you have the maximize, monetize, multiply, trifecta. Right? How can I scale this business? How can I do that? And the best in your field is to become super efficient about how you distribute your content. Right? How can become super like that's the question you need to answer. How can this framework that I've come up with be scaled to make it super efficient that I can provide this value on a large scale, which will cement me as the authority on German startups around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there it's really about then becoming very, very technical and deliberate about how you spend your time and how you can automate the activities that you that are basically not in the service of serving even more people, right? That are really all the technical parts of your business. How can you automate them so you can focus on what really matters, caring about your customer and figuring out how you can serve them better, right? And that's one, that in part, is done through scaling and growing your business, right? And, in today's day and age, you do that through advertising, right? You need to get your message out there again and again and again, right? That's how you can drive, that's how you can drive interested, customers to your business, through either paid or organic, means of, these days, online marketing. But I still wouldn't underestimate, the other forms of advertising as well, because there's some interesting, I see some interesting opportunities there as well that kind of blend in with the digital world. It's kind of leveraging the physical world, right, in a much smarter way, to get the most out of also the digital, means of advertising. And who, if, I think talking about that, marketing services, I think that could be a whole nother, podcast episode. But yeah, that's it. Maximize, monetize, multiply, maximize value, monetize your business model that transports that value, and then find a way how to do it over and over and over again for as many people as possible.
Yeah, but it's also, yeah.
That's it. Very simple.
Very simple. And everybody who would like to bounce back and forth on ideas with you, basically they can go down here in the show notes and have a look. We'll also have in our blog post all the show notes you provided to us. And of course, your website, so people can look up even more content.
Yes, that would be awesome. Guys, get in touch with me. I'm doing a lot of communication over LinkedIn. So that's really the most practical, currently the most practical, way to get a hold of me. But I'm looking also into letting people get in touch using SMS, right? Yeah, that's all, maybe also another whole topic, the whole sales organization and the whole, plethora of available options of, selling more sales to people who want to buy it. SMS marketing. I think that's something really interesting to me currently, just as a little side note. I don't know if anybody, has made any experience with it, but giving out your phone number and having people interact with SMS, I see that as a, huge opportunity.
Yes, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a short message service. It could also be something like Telegram, WhatsApp, or any other means of communications you have on your cell phone.
Absolutely. It's all a matter of identifying a technology that lets you do that in a scalable way. Right? Because that's ultimately what you need to do if you want to grow your business. You need to, first of all, make sure it's built on a solid foundation, right? And then systematized and automated as much as you can, right? So you can focus on, you know, what really matters, caring about your customer, and then optimizing the communication, which ultimately to me, sales is just communication. Extremely goal-oriented communication. It's so important that that communication is as clear and as effective as possible. Right. I think that's maybe another good thing to mention. Like, okay, yes, there's this framework that I have, maximize, monetize, multiply. right? And it's very, very technical, and very like specific. I can with confidence say that it works for any business model you can imagine. I mean, we just talked through an example Data Radio, but we can also applying it to my data business, right? The Data Warrior. It also works, right? How do we want to, let's apply it really quick to a company who wants to get the most, that always sounds so cheesy, get the most out of, for a company that wants to be productive, right? Insanely productive and competitive in a digital economy of 2021 and beyond, right? You need to become a data company, right? If you are not in some way, shape or form leveraging your data in order to achieve better business results, right? You will not stay competitive in the long run, right? Because everyone's doing it, right? But the real differentiator is, are you doing it well? And are you empowering your whole company to leverage this power, right? Of data. So you need to, first of all, identify what do I want to achieve? Right? What's my business? What's my specific business challenge that I want to solve? And how can I measure the success? Right? That's the first thing that I want to set up with my clients, right? How can we measure success for you? Right? And then coming back to, okay, key performance indicators, KPI, right? It's a acronym that gets thrown around. Everybody's talking about KPI, right? But I think you've also experienced that sometimes these KPI are very misaligned and they lead to poor decisions. If somebody's making decisions based on the wrong KPI because they were not clear about what really matters for their success. They were looking at.
Or you find the case in very large corporates that basically they're like big data like reporting departments, and basically the people who are deciding based on KPIs are not really always 100% sure what amount of data from which date, like talking about time, actually goes into this KPI.
Indeed, like the corporate world is full of examples of this. Right. So they have so much data available. Right. Often executives just become overwhelmed by the amount of data that they have available. And again, here,
I would say they are drowning in data.
Drowning in data. I love the alliteration as well. but so it's like, how do you swim in that data lake? Right. You want to enjoy it. How do you maybe also swim over to the beach and just enjoy it a bit, enjoy your data lake, right? You need to be very specific. Again, it boils down to knowing what you want, right? What constitutes success, right? That's the most important question, right? And how do we measure these key results that we want to achieve? How can we measure?
What's also very, very important for me is most companies are just measuring their success in sales, but actually final sales are just a product of a long queue. And if you only focus on sales, this queue will get cut down and cut down and cut down. And then your product may lose value over time or may not be as competitive anymore. And then your sales are declining and you actually reacting on investing more money in sales. So basically you have to have KPIs that go all along your product if you're a bigger company and you cannot only measure scales. There have to be some KPIs before sales. Sorry.
Foundation. What's your foundation? Right? So the question is, what's your timeline? Do you have a long-term view? Or do you have a short-term view? Do you even want to be in business in 100 years? Do you want that at all? That's a question that you need to answer. What am I doing? What purpose is this company serving? Right? And that really determines also these baseline KPIs, your fundamental KPI that you ideally don't want to change over your life, right? If we're like relating it to us as people, like what values do we hold deeply, right? And how do we measure those values, right? Is as important as the technical KPIs such as sales that measure our short-term success. I like to think of these values, what you were talking about, right? These baseline KPI as long-term values that we hold, right? That make up a great deal of how we perceive our success, if that makes sense, right? So that's super important. And everybody needs to understand why we measure this, right? We need to care about, again, measuring this because it helps us achieve our purpose in the long run. And yes, in the short run, it also hopefully makes us a lot of money because we're in business, right? And we want to also make a lot of money so we can help more people, right? And that is success, right? In business. And success is fun, right? So let's have a lot of fun helping a lot of people, right? I highly recommend, just picked up a copy of Game Time Decision Making by David Meltzer. And it's a great read so far. What I also admire about him is that he has this very simple way of thinking about business. He wants to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. I think that's a great philosophy to have. Again, it all boils down to, what do you care about? What do you want? Right? You need to know exactly what you want, and that will determine what you measure, right? To get you to success, what do you care about? The next step, once you've kind of built that foundation, is actually running this program, right? We're in the field of data, right? Running this data program. To empower the people that are day to day running your business, making decisions that drive that long-term strategy, right? To help them make the best possible decisions in the short run, in the, always aligned with the long-term goals, right? And that's the responsibility of top-level management, of top-level executives, to make sure that everyone's at all times aligned to the long-term strategy of staying, of becoming a generation. For me, it would be becoming a generational company, like Lego, for instance. Over 100 years they exist, right? For me, that would be we can compare it also in the financial world. Warren Buffett, why is he the most successful? Because he's been playing the game the longest, and he's been taking advantage of compound interest for the longest period of time, right? He's investing in such a way that allows him to stay in the game, right, long enough to make abnormal returns, right? He's optimistic about the future, pursuing long-term strategy, and in the short term, making buying and selling decisions, right, that are always aligned to that strategy, to just give that example. And that needs to be your foundation. And then you can empower people to make these decisions on a daily basis, right, in your organization. And then it's really about scaling that throughout your organization. If we're talking about a corporate, right, this kind of initiative might start in one particular department, and then people start seeing, okay, doing this data-driven way of thinking, establishing a strong data culture centered around a learning and a growth mindset really does improve results. And everybody's so happy in that department because they are always aligned with the company, and they are always they always know exactly what part they contribute to the success, right? So it's a very motivational thing to measure our success, right? I think the best example is if you're trying to lose weight, you step on the scale and you see you know you're measuring that to see that success because that makes you feel good.
That would be also an example I could take to drive my point about KPIs home, because you're only measuring at the scale, your weight. So basically not everything that you've eaten, not everything that you've worked out. And that are basically the KPIs that provide you with the final result at the scale.
Exactly. Exactly. Like you get a holistic view of your organization. You get a, you see the results, and you know that's because you've, set it up in such a way that these results are driven by the best possible decisions that people could have made because they had the best possible information, at the time they needed it to make that decision, right? Then you've truly mastered, data-driven decision making in business, right? And it's really about, from experience, I can tell you, it's really about creating a culture around data and creating a collective consciousness for this mindset of using data, of measuring our success, of being very aware of what we care about, right? So we're always aligned to what we want. So we are inspired to work to get what we want.
I think that are amazing closing words for our audience. We are now running at approximately 50 plus minutes of recording time. So I may to have to cut it down just a tiny bit. Nonetheless, I enjoyed it.
There's a lot to
yes,
say.
Yes, there's a lot to say. I really enjoyed a lot to have you as a guest. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you here. Down here in the show notes, you'll find a link to, as we said, Simon's private LinkedIn profile, as well as your website, which currently I do believe redirects to Canva website, right?
Yes, I'm currently redoing the website, I hope by the time this airs that it's done. I'm putting a priority behind it, it should be done. And like I said, reach out on LinkedIn if you are interested in anything that we or interested in talking to me about anything we talked about today. I'm always happy to have a chat if my calendar allows it. I really want to say thank you again for this opportunity. This is a great channel that you've started here, and the way you are going about it, you've showed me the way of working. It's inspired me to it's inspired me, full stop. Thanks for letting me say my piece here, letting me show the data warrior, presenting my frameworks. I do appreciate it a lot.
Great. Thank you very much.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is startuprad.eu, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to startuprad.eu podcast, or check for the startuprad.eu internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the startuprad.eu skill as well.